generator by any means. You're making a
electricity, electricity.
In studio with SRP and APS representatives here at Rosie on the House, talking about the power grid. And if somebody's new to Arizona, is not familiar with our primary power suppliers, you know, APS operates Palo Verde Nuclear Power Plant, but y'all also have a number of other power generation stations as well. What a lot of people don't know is SRP actually has part ownership in Palo Verde Nuclear Power Plant, along with electric companies in California, Texas, and there's like seven owners of the power plant, but you guys have the operating license.
That's correct. That's right. APS operates Palo Verde Nuclear Plant, but we do it on behalf of several different co-owners. And you know, it's really a partnership as we all work to keep the lights on in Arizona.
And SRP not only has power generation, but you guys manage our in-state water systems that come in from the White Mountains.
That's right.
So you guys are water and power.
That's right.
Okay, so SRP, in my mind, as just a naive homeowner, I'm thinking hydroelectric power, probably your biggest source of power.
That wouldn't be accurate.
Okay, straighten me out.
We've got a large mix of coal, hydro. Hydro is in there. We've got solar, natural gas, nuclear, and now we're moving into wind as well.
So are you guys the ones putting the Kingman wind farm in?
No, not so much. Okay. We're just purchasing power through there.
Oh, gotcha.
So we've got, between the two of you, we've got natural gas, we've got nuclear, we've got hydroelectric, we've got coal-fired. What other sources are there?
A little bit of biomass out there. We have quite a
Tell
bit of solar.
Tell me what that is. Tell me what biomass is.
Well, up towards Snowflake, Arizona, there's an area where they actually consume wood products out of the forest that aren't usable for making finished lumber. So in that case, you can actually use that as a fuel source in a boiler and make steam and spin
okay.
a turbine.
Is that St. John's?
It's west of Snowflake, west of Snowflake, Arizona.
Okay. So we've got, we're not just relying on any one source. That, to some degree, adds some layers of redundancy and security, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Maintaining a diverse mix is really helpful.
What do you see as the future of wind? Are we going to be covered up in wind farms at some time in the future?
It'll keep blowing.
You know, Rosie, I think wind is a great resource. It's actually very inexpensive to make. But one of the challenges with wind for Arizona is on our hottest days of the year when we need the most energy, the wind is often not blowing. And so that's one of the big challenges we face with wind. Now, conversely, solar, which we have a large fleet of solar sites, and we make a lot of energy today. I mean, we talk a lot about APS being 50% of our energy is carbon-free. And that's a combination of about two-thirds of it comes from Palo Verde Nuclear, and the other third comes from our solar and some wind resources. The solar does really well on a hot, sunny day.
I used to work for a man that said we're all just one idea away from a fortune. Now, my idea, why hasn't anyone ever incorporated the force of tide, the ocean tides, to spin a generator?
There actually is.
Underground, horizontal generators?
So there's wave power and there's tidal power as well.
And where are we seeing that utilized?
There's some in the East Coast and a little
is
bit
there?
In Southern California.
Okay. Well, it has always puzzled me as to that seems to be absolutely reusable forever.
It's a very plentiful resource if you can figure out how to capture it.
A very plentiful resource. It would just seem like a great place to be putting some investment research dollars, and I've always been curious about that. So all of these power sources, now we've got to get the infrastructure to distribute all these generated powers. What happens when we decide to let a coal plant in St. John's, we're gonna shut that coal plant down? How do we make up that difference?
Yeah, that's one of the big challenges we face as we transition to that 100% carbon-free future that we've all envisioned and we're working towards. And while we may be 50% of the way there today, getting the other 50% is going to be a lot of work. And as you wind down coal-fired power plants, there's a combination of mostly focused on wind and solar renewables in the state of Arizona. And in order to make that dispatchable, you've got to add the battery piece. So you have to store the sun up in the middle of the day or store the wind when it's blowing and put it into a large-scale energy storage and then use it when we get to our peak, you know, around 5:30, 6 p.m. in the evening. And so that's a big piece of that strategy. So as we wind down some of those coal plants and make that transition, we'll lean heavily on renewable energy like solar.
And y'all have both began promoting a couple of years ago the idea of staggering your power consumption. Yeah. I mean, that's going to do a lot right there.
We have participating programs with like bring your own thermostat or customer demand response, the business demand response. So, yeah, absolutely.
Rosie, I heard you're an expert on rate design too, that you know how to pre-cool the house and store up that cold and use it when it's less impactful and at a lower cost.
You know, we put the concept of super cooling out over the airwaves 20 years ago, and we have thousands of testimonies of people just saying, I'm living cooler, I'm living more comfortable, I'm living with a 30% reduced power bill. I'm getting my total KW cost on the month, including my peak load demand, at under 13 cents a kilowatt. And I ask them, I say, just call any of your relatives anywhere in the country and ask them if 10, 11, or 12 cents a kilowatt, they would consider that fair.
And it helps the grid and it helps you as a customer, right?
And it helps the globe. It's a win-win-win for every single body. We call it super cooling. Y'all have begun promoting it. And I just think it goes a long way to answer Romy's question about when do we need that next generating plant. Because if we can level off the peaks at that 5 o'clock afternoon midsummer peak, we're going to go a long way to stretch our current supply.